Ago, this lady here, that she's responsible for me going back to Juarez, going back to Mexico, it's all her fault. Because, I mean, I didn't want to go back. I came to the States with the mentality and the idea not going back. It's because I have a loud voice, but anyways. But because of her going back and finding this place, she dragged me with her.
It was the Lord's will. That's I can say it was the Lord's will, and you know, He's taking us, you know, from one step to another, to another, to another, to where we are at right now. And I just thank Him and praise Him. You know what? I really thank Him that I have a good husband. Because if I didn't have a good husband, you know, then things would be different. But you know, he's a good, godly man, and I thank Him for my family, for a daughter 25 years old, and my son is 17. So I praise Him and I thank Him because He has been good to us. Yes. And I won't, you know. I'm not going to preach, so I just wanted to share that with you. Okay.
Well,
greet us this morning, Jesus. Greet us, greet Living Waters, as if you were in oneness this morning. Give us a greeting, a Spanish greeting, just like this.
Dios los bendiga, hermanos. Es bueno estar aquí en este lugar para adorar y bendecir el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, porque Dios es bueno, Dios es grande y Dios es misericordioso. Amén. Gracias a Dios. I thank the Lord because the Lord is so beautiful in His merciful ways. You know, when I came to the States, I wasn't planning to go back. And I made myself a promise that I wasn't going to go back to Mexico because, you know, so many things happened in my childhood that I didn't feel like I had anything to give back to Mexico or that I owe anything to Mexico at that time, okay? And that's what I try to transmit to Junior, that my son, that it's not what we think that we're going to do. It's what the Lord has planned for us. You know, if you open your Bible in Jeremiah, being the prophet, being the servant, and being the speaker of the word in those days, he was very obedient. You know, when I came to the States, I came in kind of in a disobedience because, I mean, I was renegating from my family. I was renegating from my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters, and I came looking for a better way of living, you know, because I was sick and tired of the system in Mexico. That, I mean, it's not what you are, but it's just what you or who you know, and important places who you will become, you know. And I didn't know anybody important in Mexico, so I wasn't gonna become nothing, you know. So looking over to the north of Juarez, I saw these beautiful lights every day and every night. And for certain time, you know, that I got upset with my mother and I turned my back on her and I told her, I'm going to leave. I'm gone. And I even asked her for her blessings because I wasn't planning to go back to Mexico. She never gave me her blessings in those days. And anyways, I went away. Looking for a better way of living, and I found it, and I found it. I found a beautiful country that embraced me and educated me, and not only that, but the Lord gave me a beautiful wife, you know, with a salvation along her side. Yes. Not that she saved me, but the Lord saved me and gave me the opportunity to meet her and to serve with her, okay? So, if you read this portion of the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 18, In verse first, it says the following. Palabra de Jehová que vino a Jeremías diciendo, levántate y vete a casa del alfarero y allí te haré oír mis palabras. Okay. And your version will say, the word which came to Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Yes, you know, obedience has a big and important role in our lives, even as the grown-ups, you know. Right. Pastor David was sharing with us a few minutes ago, that, you know, when we were having a service there, he was up in the roof, and he was doing some work. And, you know, it takes obedience to listen to the word of God, you know. And he heard these words, okay. And in those days, he mentioned something about it. But I really didn't pay attention to it, brother. Because my mind, my heart, and my everything was concentrated and focused on what we were doing. Okay, so the beautiful part of this is that Pastor Hartley with Randall and Sue, they were our first group that they went over and worked in the ministry. So I was over thrilled, over excited. How many of you are related and familiar with excitement? You know, when you're excited, you don't think in anything else but what you're doing, right? Because that's what's exciting you. Well, in those days, I was really excited, and I was real thrilled because we had a group of people that they were willing to go and work, and not only work, but to minister, you know? And Pastor said something about God brought me to the desert. I said, well, this is a desert, brother. But then, I mean, he kept on talking, but today I heard something that now it's making sense to me, you know? God was talking to him as he's talking to you every day. Every day. But you know what? It takes obedience to listen to the word of God when he wants to minister, when he wants to talk, when he wants to deal with you. Because he deals with us directly. How many of you know that? That when God deals with somebody, it deals directly with you. You know? I came over to the States, not wanting to go back. But unfortunately, my plans were not his plans. You know, he had better plans for my life, which, I mean, they're greater than mine. I'll tell you this much. They're greater than mine, and they're a lot better. So what happens is that I meet her. Well, the Lord rescued me from being a drug addict and alcoholic and doing all this stuff that is not healthy for young people and young adults and adults. He rescued me, and he gave me the salvation. So in the process, okay, so I'm here living a new life, being a new creature of the Lord, a new creation of the Lord. So I became a new child, and you know what? I mean, I forgot that I was a Mexican. I forgot about being Mexican. So since being a newborn, I said, well, I'm a newborn. Now I am an American citizen, right? Because I'm a newborn and I was born in the States, right? So I live my life. The years went by. You know, I had a very good life. The Lord prospered me. The Lord put me in positions and situations that I really forgot about Mexico. You know, every week I will send some money to my parents and everything so they could help out themselves and everything. But you know what? I didn't want to do nothing with Mexico. But one thing I did right away. That was 3 years later after I received my salvation, I went straight back to my mother and I asked forgiveness. I asked her to forgive me for my attitude, for my actions, for the way I was living. So I went back and asked forgiveness. And you know why I did this? Because in the scripture, I was so hungry. I was starving for the word of God that, you know, I read the word of God, the Bible. I read it once a year. I mean, I read it one time in 1 year. And then I kept on reading it. The second year that I was saved, I mean, I read it 3 times, and I was starving. You know, I will read and read and read and read and read because it was not satisfying me. So I wanted more and more and more. But, you know, between those literatures that I read, or the scriptures that I read, you know, I found one verse that said, young people, this is what the word said, okay? It says right now, and it says right there, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, and you shall live longer days. I say, I want to have a long life. I say, I want to live long. So what do I need to do to honor my father and my mother? You know, because I dishonor them when I walk away from them and everything. I said, I have to go and ask forgiveness. So that's exactly what I did. I went back and I asked them for forgiveness. And, you know, they didn't know. They could not understand that I was a different man, that I was a different person, because they knew who I was. Okay? They knew who I was and what I was doing while I was there with them. So my mother, I don't believe that you changed. Well, Mom, I'm different, Mom. I promise you, I'm not the same person. Nah, you're still the same one. I don't believe it. Mom, look at me. I changed. You know my hair? You know, you had trouble trying to cut my hair because I never wanted to get a haircut. You look how I'm dressed. So, you're still the same. I don't believe it. And you know, but the Lord had changed me. So I share with her what the Lord had brought me, the good news, the salvation, you know, and she was, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, my dad received the word. My family received the word and everything, but they never received the conversion in those days. Well, everything happened. We will go to Juarez, okay? But I'll go like the horse that carries the milk in the farms, you know? They got the little thing, so the blinders. Thank you, brother. The blinders, so I wouldn't look nowhere but the path to the parents' house, you know? And go there, come back. And, you know, we did that for several years. Not wanting to go and do nothing with Juarez. But then one day, you know, everything was so fine and so perfect. One day, my wife comes home, and she comes heartbroken. You know, she comes with tears in her eyes. And you know, she had lost her grandmother, okay? So I said, well, maybe it's the sorrow that she's going through. And she says, I went to this neighborhood, and it's so bad, and it's so terrible, and my aunt is living there, and she never lived in this situation and everything, and I don't know what's happening. I said, well, wait a minute, what is it that you want to do? She said, well, I don't know, I saw so much poverty there, so many children there in school, you know, the classrooms, they're made out of wood pallets, cardboard, covered with cardboard. You go in, because I went in, and it was hot. It was hot because there was no AC, no windows, and it's the floors, they were dirt. There were still weeds inside the classrooms, and that's not possible. I said, well, what do you want to do? I mean, you want to go and build a new school? I want to do something, she said. I want to do something. What do you want to do, babe? I ask her. She says, well, I want to take him some food, fruit, something so they can eat. I said, well, you know what? I just got paid. All the bills are paid and everything. So just a check. Here, go and buy something. And guess what she did? Exactly what I told her. She went and spent the whole check. And I said, babe, how much money did you spend? Well, you told me to spend the check. Yeah, but I wasn't talking seriously. Well, you say so. So, man, please be careful when you tell your wife. Here's a check, go and spend it. Don't literally tell them spend it, because they're going to do it. Well, she did it. Well, her heart was filled. And here she is, okay, at the potter's house. Okay? She's learning what they're doing. God is talking to her in different ways and different areas. But if that was not enough, the teacher, where she went in to deliver the goodies, comes over to her and asks her this question, okay? They come over to her. Ma'am, I don't know who you are. I never seen you before. And I don't know what you do for a living or what, okay? But I was wondering if through you, you can establish a feeding program for this school, because my children, they're fading because they're not being well fed. So they come starving sometimes. And I don't have nothing to give them. And it hurts me watching them fade in my classroom. And I don't know, maybe you can do something. My wife said, okay, she didn't say, yeah, I'll do it, I'll go forward, yeah, no problem. She didn't say that. She said, you know what? Let me pray about it and see what I can do. Well, getting out of that room and everything, she starts walking over towards the card, and then being a prayer warrior, being a godly woman as she is, she starts praying to the Lord and says, Lord, if this is you talking to me, I just want you to confirm this. I need a confirmation. And how many of you knows that the Lord is prompt to answer our prayers? Prompt. I mean, he's quick. He's fast. Even before we ask, and he's already answering the prayer. So she didn't get to the car while a couple of ladies that they didn't know what she was doing there in the neighborhood. They didn't know what she was doing in the classroom. They approach her and tell her the same words that the teacher told her. Then my wife, she just started crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. And she just poor. I mean, she got home and she had her eyes like a frog. I come from work and say, what's wrong with you, baby? What happened? She says, I don't know what happened. I said, babe, did somebody hurt you? Did somebody do something to you? Because I'll take care of them. Just, no, it has nothing to do with it. This is happening. This is what is happening. I said, well, what is happening, babe? She says, well, I mean, the teacher told me this, and then I was praying to the Lord, and then these parents came over, and they told me the exact words that the teacher told me. So, I mean, I asked for a confirmation, and then I said, what are you waiting for? But I don't know what to do. I said, well, you know what? What you just told me, go to this business, go to that business, go to that business, go to that business. I told her several different businesses that I used to deliver to. And I told her, if this is from God, believe me, the doors, they're going to open wide. So she went over and knocked doors. And before that, she says, but they're going to think I'm crazy. They're not going to believe me. I said, well, what do you have to lose, babe? I have nothing to lose. So she went and knocked the first door, and guess what? Well, to make this long story short, okay, it was a Monday when she went to Juarez. For the following Monday, she was already serving the breakfast to the children. Wow. Those businesses that she went and knocked the doors, I mean, they called her back and said, Maria, I have a pallet full of food, and come and pick them up right away. Another business called her, Maria, I have a pallet full of fish and meat, come and pick him up because I need to get rid of it right now. And praise God, and my brothers, because, I mean, God, when you trust in the Lord, yes, the Lord will honor your faith.
Yes. Amen.
You know, and his blessings, I'm sorry, but when I preach and when I minister and when I talk, I get very thirsty. They gave me this little bottle of water that is almost gone, so I'm ready. Pastor said, take as long as you want. And you know, I don't preach longer than 2 hours. I promise you, today is not going to be deception, okay? I'm just making up. Thank you, brother. Thank you for bringing us here and giving us this opportunity. You see, when Jeremiah was taken into this place, the Lord said, I will speak to you. You will hear my voice, but pay attention and be obedient. That is a part of our lives that is very, very hard. It's very hard to say, yes, I will be obedient. I'm talking for my own experiences. I'm talking for the experiences when my son, sometimes I tell him, son, go and do this. Yeah, I'm going. son, go and do this. Yeah, I'll go. Yesterday, I side with this young lady, okay? Randall said, can you go and make some tea? Uh-huh. Well, can you go and make it now? Oh, okay. And then she got up and did it. But, you know, obedience is a very, very difficult part in our lives to execute. You know, when Pastor was called into the ministry, I mean, it was way before he went to Juarez. Way before. I mean, maybe it was 5 years before you went to Juarez. But, you know, something deep inside us says, we'll do it next time, Lord. We'll do it soon. I promise you I'll do it soon. You know, because it took me 2 years to obey and execute his orders and his commands to go to Juarez. Why? Because I was in the comfort zone. You know, I had a very good job, and I was working as a associate pastor in this prosperous church. You know, we had over 250 members every Sunday. It was great to be speaking. It was great to be in church. I was in different areas in the ministry. I was the director of missions. I was the elder, the senior elder. I was working in Sunday school with young people. I was doing everything in church, which, I mean, that's what involves our work as a servants, as a Christians, as a new creatures in the Lord. And that's what the Lord expects from us, right? God wants more than that, but sometimes he's calling us, he's telling us, but we say, wait, Lord, I'm not finished. I'm not done here. Wait until I'm done here, then I'll go, you know? So I'm sure, brother, before you went to Juarez, the Lord dealt with you, I mean, many years, but you said, nah, Lord, it's not time yet. I mean, the Lord's telling you, go and do it. You said, no, I'm not ready. It's not time yet, okay? But then he takes you, and you say, Lord, I know what you want. So there's no fight. Because how many of you know that when you're fighting with God, you're going to lose? You're going to lose. Okay, so 2 years I was fighting with the Lord. 2 years, the Lord will tell me, I want you to go and join Maria and do this and do that. And final thing, I say, okay, Lord, well, you want me to go over there? This is what you need to do for me. Okay, listen to this. Look, I will serve you full time. And I will have no reserves, no doubts, but only if you give me this business that it will generate $7,000 per day. And it, I promise you, Lord, that, you know, out of those $7,000, I will support her ministry. I will support her 100%. I will give certain amount. I won't keep the $7,000, Lord, I promise you. But you have to give it to me in order for me to go and serve you. And guess what the Lord did? Did he give me that $7,000 per day? No. And I still have to go and serve him. I still have to go and do what he asked me to do. But it took me 2 years. 2 years. After that, it's history. It's history. You know, his promises, his blessings, they're like this bottle of water. They're full. They're filled to the top. And you know, we're always trusting in his promises. We're always trusting in his words that he gave us. But when we become obedient, you know, I have to say this. It breaks my heart. And I rejoice watching Pastor Harley going right now to where he's going, because he's not going to heaven. He's not going to heaven. He's not going to a pleasant place. Have you realized where he's going to right now? You know, he's going to a cave that is filthy. It's full of criminals. It's full of people that is their rejection from society. But yet, they need salvation. Amen. And it takes courage to do that. Because, you know, these people, they can be normal, and suddenly they can be crazy. They can be crazy. So may the Lord protect them and take care of them and bless them and use them, and his wisdom come upon them so they can deal and treat these people as the creation of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask my son to come here. And I'm going to do something this morning. You know, the Lord has called us to serve and to be obedient. How many of you know a potter or what a potter does? Okay, well, the potter, his function is to create. How many of you own a mug at home? I'm sure everybody does. Do you use it often? Yes. For most of us, every morning. And how does it look like? How does your mug looks like, brother?
Got a handle and hole on the top, and you can fill it up.
Okay. How does your mug looks like, brother?
It looks wonderful.
It holds your coffee. Precious liquid. Okay. Well, I'm not at home, so this morning, it was offered to me a beautiful mug, you know, that it had a picture, it had some engravings, and that is the work of the potter, you know. Create beautiful things. Create wonderful things like this. Like he can create pots, he can create, what you call the planters, okay. But this morning, I didn't bring one of those cups, okay, as a creation. But you see, how many of you think this is pretty? Well, this is a representation of us, of you, okay? When God create us perfect, okay? But we mess up everything, right? When he created us perfect, but we mess up everything. When the potter is doing something, creating something, he's working with his hands, and he's in the wheel, you know, turning the wheel, you know, molding that artifact or that thing that he's making, he's molding it. But if something goes wrong with it, he doesn't continue doing it. But he does, he takes him away. And how many of you like to do cooking? You like brownies? Okay, to make brownies, what you need to do? Cook them. But before that, you do the dough, and you can put the whole thing of dough to make a brownie, right? What you need to do is make it in little pieces, correct? And put it along the tray, right? So once you make that, you put it into the oven, and then you get your brownies, okay? So we see the potter doing this. If something goes wrong with it, he doesn't keep on working with it. He gets that and piles them up in the deteriorated stuff. He gets a new, lump of clay. Okay, gets another one of those and puts it in the wheel and starts working with it. Okay, something goes wrong with it. He doesn't throw it away. He piles them up in the damaged stuff and gets another lump of clay. Right, puts it in the wheel, starts working with it, and Jeremiah is watching what the potter is doing, and he's learning. Okay, he's learning. Finally, the potter makes something pretty and beautiful that he keeps it. When he gets it, he puts it in a tray, brings it out to the sun so it can dry out, and then he's watching. Jeremiah is watching. As my son is saying, why do you ask me over here and be standing with this thing in my hand? So Jeremiah is watching, and he's learning because God is talking to him. So if you pay attention this morning, God is talking to you. God is talking to you. And how he's talking to you? By making something perfect, like the potter. He made us perfect, but we mess up everything. You know, when Chaya, when you have a good week, you have a very good week in school and everything, and you're in good status with Sue and Randall, but one little thing, a very, very small thing that you do that is not right, is going to blow up the whole week, and it's going to blow up that relationship that you established, that you build up for the whole week. And then you're going to be punished, right? When you do something wrong, right? Because that's what happens to Junior. But you know what? If you look at it, we're still sons. Because God is who? Father. It's our Father. So that makes us His children. How many of you are being punished or being put in time out? Brother, you gotta be kidding. He doesn't do that to us. But we do it to our sons, to our daughters, to our grandsons, which is good for them because they learn. They learn because we went through that, right? Our parents used to do that same. But God created us so perfect that when we came to the ministry, we came to His service, you know, it was like this beautiful creation, okay? So this is you, this is me, okay? This represents the floor, but since I don't want to make a mess, this is the representation of the because then Pastor will bring me back and you need to try out this before, okay? No, just hold it, okay? So don't you come and hold the microphone.
Can you hear me okay? Do I need the microphone?
They're recording.
Oh, they're recording it. Okay. All right. So this is what will happen. Look, the blessings of the Lord, they're right here, contained, okay? Like living waters, you know? And they're like this. Place in a bottle like this, and he says that the living waters, what do the living waters do? They flow, right? So His Holy Spirit flows in our bodies, in our lives, like living waters from head to toe, right? So the Lord said, I will be with you, I will prosper you, I will make you whole, and I will come over here. And I will be with you, and I will take care of you, okay? And this is my blessings pouring over your life, His creation, okay? We made a mistake. We're not throwing away, but the Lord molds us again. And He pours His blessings over us, okay? So there you go. His blessings are pouring over our lives when we pray, when we intercede, when we do share the gospel with others, when we do what we need to do that He's commanding us to do, right? His blessings are being poured over our lives. But you know what? That this perfection is that we think that the Lord is blessing us and we think that we being full of His blessings while the blessings being poured over. Because sometimes we ask, but we're not ready to receive it. Amen? So, His blessings pour over our lives, okay? But they're still there. The Lord empty out those living waters in us because that's His promise, okay? But then we disobey. We don't do like Wednesday. What's going to happen Wednesday or this coming week? It was there in the bulletin. Youth meeting, okay? Before the youth meeting, something else is going to happen that needs to be finished. Sheet rock. Floating, taping. How many of you knows that that's a necessity? Because the sooner that room is ready, it will be used. It will be put out to be served, right? But sometimes, there's a saying, hear no evil, see no evil. We need help. We need people. We need volunteers. Nobody shows up. We messed up. The Lord doesn't throw us away like the potter, okay? The creation is minus, right? We become this as his creation. But the blessings of the Lord, they're still there. He pours in us, and he asks us. He asks us to be faithful. He asks us to do the work that he wants us to do. He asks us to go in fellowship. He asks us to go and share the word. He asks us to go and evangelize, and we don't do it. We disobey. He asks us to go and visit the hospitals. I'm too busy, Lord, to go and visit the hospitals. He asks us to go and visit the orphanages. We're too busy to be dealing with orphans. He asks us to go and visit the elders. We don't do it, and we fail. But you see, we think we're full of the Lord's blessings. What happens to the rest of this cup? As we fail, you know, our cup is getting smaller and smaller. It's getting smaller and smaller, right? But we're not thrown away. We're still on the Lord's hands, right? We become this. This is what we become, okay? The Lord still pours his blessings over us, and he fills with his presence, he fills with his Holy Spirit our lives, and he fills us with his himself in us. But you see what's happening? We proclaim that we're full of the Holy Spirit. But you see the size of the cup that it is today, a days that you are, that I am. What the Lord had is this much. How much? It was minimized. How much? 2 liters to 12 ounces. You see that difference? Do you think the Lord is giving up on us? Do you think we're giving up on the Lord? We do. We do give up because he's called us. Thank you. Because he's calling us to serve. And we think that what we're doing, coming to service, you know, Sunday school or Sunday mornings, and just by giving them 1.5 hours, 2 hours of our service, that is plenty. You know, the Lord has more in store to give us than what we have to ask him. He's got a lot to give us. But you know what? He hasn't poor in our lives because we're not ready. We're not ready. So I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. You know, the farmers, when the early rains come, it's too soon for the harvest. But when the late rains come, it's perfect for the harvest. Because that's the last thing that happens, and it's going to boost up the crop. It's going to boost it up. They're delicious. They're joyful. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and to ask the Lord if you're ready. To ask the Lord if you're doing what he is asking you to do. Some of you have been asked to be in the music. You know, when you're asked to be in any field, the Lord doesn't ask you to just go and do it. He expects from you the best. The best. Some of you have been asked to go and do ministry work. Not so much in the church, not so much in the buildings as needed right now, but you know, as the necessity is here, it's in some other areas. So if you don't know how to float, you know how to speak, go and minister the elders. Go and minister the hospital, the sick. Go and minister the orphans. Go and minister the youth that is getting lost. The Lord is asking you to do that. As the late rain comes, the Lord wants to bless us, and the Lord wants to do something in our lives. With your eyes closed, I just want you to start clapping with one finger. Start clapping. One finger. Start clapping. You know, the rain is coming. Clap, clap. Just listen. Don't open your eyes. Listen. One finger. The Lord is asking you to do something special. The Lord is asking you to do something as the lay rains. Now increase to two fingers. You know, the Lord wants to pour. The Lord wants to bless. The Lord wants to do something special, but sometimes we don't let him because we think we're too busy. We don't want to do it, Lord. We don't want to. We're just not ready, Lord. And the Lord is telling you, go and do it. The late rains are coming. The late rains are coming. Three fingers. Come on. Three fingers, everybody together. Three fingers, three fingers. Four fingers. Five fingers. You see, as the increment goes, the Lord is pouring his Holy Spirit over his people. He's calling you, go. He's calling you, come. He's telling you, do it. He's telling you, go. Go, do it. Because the lay rains are here, and your body, your temple is ready. It's ready for the harvest. And you don't want the harvest to go to waste. You want the harvest to do the fruit that is need to be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your merciful ways, Father, that you have given us, Father. I thank you, Father, because we know and we can feel your Holy Spirit, Father, that your presence is not absent this morning. Your presence is real right here. I can feel it. I can touch it. Lord, and I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that because I know you're dealing with some of your sons, your daughters, that they're present this morning, Father. And I ask you, Father, that your blessings come and pour over their lives, Father. Father, that the ministry that has been here, Father, that has been started, Father, that has been in the making, Father, that they can become, Father, the foundation. They can become, Father, the hardcore, Father, of this ministry, Father, supporting, praying, interceding, working, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you, Father, to revive that desire in this congregation, Father. Revive it, Father. That the vision, Father, stay alive in their lives, Father. And to execute it, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. And I thank you for everything, Father. And I thank for the opportunity that it was given to me this morning and to my wife and my son. Thank you all for giving me this opportunity. Thank you, brother. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Let's continue in worship. Is there one here this morning that desires an extra prayer? An agreement? We'll open up here. Kay and I'll pray. Jesus will come back and he'll pray with you. We want to give you that opportunity before we leave this morning. Okay. Randall, you and Sue.